In the Presbyterian Church, we believe that God's Spirit is with God's people. But how exactly do we experience the work of that Spirit in our lives? In the Pentecostal church of my youth, I was taught that one of the signs of the Spirit's presence in our lives was the ability to speak in other tongues, other languages. I'm not talking about the ability to study and learn a language and then communicate it. I'm talking about what we just heard in today's reading from the book of Acts, a God-given ability to speak in a language we have never learned. In the Pentecostal church of my youth, speaking in tongues was seen as evidence of the Spirit's presence, and I have no doubt, reason to doubt that the Spirit can be active in this way. I remember attending a youth conference with my brother. He was next to me during a worship and prayer session. At a certain point in the service, he began speaking strange words that sounded to me like the utterance of an Inuit. That's the only sort of sound that was familiar. Afterwards, he talked about having been filled with unimaginable joy. In the Pentecostal church of my youth, speaking in tongues was seen as evidence of the Spirit's presence, and we were encouraged to ask God for this gift. Yet even then, I wondered if this was the only way that God revealed God's presence to us. Today, our epistle lesson comes from the 8th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. New Testament scholar Douglas Moo notes that Romans has been likened to the cathedral of the Christian faith, and Romans 8 to the inner sanctuary of that cathedral. This lofty reputation arises from the way this chapter touches on so many of the benefits conferred on believers by the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul uses the word Spirit 21 times. Now, throughout this chapter, Paul speaks about our need to persevere in the life of discipleship, and then he goes on to describe how God's Spirit is active among us, empowering us to press on. With the story of the Exodus in the background, Paul notes the many ways that the Spirit fills our lives and enables us to continue onward towards God's purposes. So, according to this scripture, how is the Spirit of God at work among us? Well, first of all, God is leading us. In the Old Testament, and some of you may remember these stories, when the people of Israel escaped Egypt, when they made their way to the Promised Land, they weren't left on their own without a map or a compass. We are told that the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. That's by day, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Right? They were guided as a community. In the same way, we are not left alone on our pilgrimage, either as individuals or as a church community. The Holy Spirit continues to guide and direct us. Today's reading reminds us that the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. And this is something that most of us can prove by our own personal experience. As another New Testament scholar, Tom Wright, points out, it is a common Christian experience that while many of the thoughts in our mind seem to come to us from the ordinary flow of consciousness within us, sometimes we find other thoughts, which seem to come from somewhere else, hinting gently but powerfully at God's love, at our calling to holiness, and at particular tasks to which we must give our energy and attention. The Spirit of God continues to be at work among us, guiding us and leading us. But that's not all. We are told also that the Spirit of God is praying for us. Today's passage notes that just as creation has been groaning impatient for the fulfillment of God's purposes, so we groan inwardly. More than that, that the Spirit Himself intercedes us through wordless groans, that the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, in the Old Testament, we are told that God was frustrated by His people's behavior as God led them through the wilderness. We are told that at one point, God's frustration was so great that God was ready to give up and start with a clean slate. But the leader God had chosen interceded for God's people. I mean, makes me think God's Spirit was speaking through Moses. Moses encouraged God to overlook their stubbornness and reclaim them as God's inheritance. In the same way, I think we can see that the Spirit of God is our ally and our intercessor. We are told that when we cannot pray insightfully or clearly, or when we cannot pray at all, that the Spirit is praying the perfect prayer on our behalf. The Spirit is guiding us. The Spirit is praying for us. And the Spirit is also reminding us of our identity in Christ. In today's passage, Paul tells us that it is by the Spirit that we call out to God, Abba, that is, Papa, or Daddy. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. When the people wandered in the wilderness, God made a covenant with the people, telling Moses, "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my commandment, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole world is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." The covenant with God that is seen in the Old Testament was written in law. Well, through the work of Jesus Christ, this has become a covenant written on our hearts, and it is a relationship that is testified to by the Holy Spirit. As one commentator has noted, how else? How else would believers dare to call upon the one whom has appointed Christ as the final judge than under the influence of that deeply felt compulsion that this is the moving of God's own Spirit within and among His adopted children? How can we pray this morning unless God tells us we are His children and He wants us to share these concerns with Him? As a church, we believe God's Spirit is with God's people. Today's scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit leads us, that the Holy Spirit prays for us, and that the Holy Spirit confirms our identity as God's children. The theme of the 145th General Assembly that Klaus and I just returned from was "Receive the Holy Spirit." This was probably the toughest assembly I've attended, and probably one of the most emotionally riven weeks I've faced. Some of my most cherished beliefs were challenged, and I'm not happy with all of our decisions. But in the end, I can say, in spite and because of what has happened, that the Holy Spirit was with us. The Holy Spirit was guiding us. People, myself included, received God-given direction on when to speak out and when to shut up. A friend in my mentoring group, she's a minister in Ottawa, was distraught with the direction of the assembly and passionately pleaded for a new way, a different way. As she walked to her room after the closing of one evening session, she felt she needed to do more to set the course aright, but clearly heard from God, "Your work, Denise, is done. It's now time for others." The Holy Spirit was guiding us, and the Holy Spirit was also praying for us. At times, I couldn't say anything. I mean, I was making notes, but there was nothing that was coming together. At times, I couldn't even participate in worship. I just couldn't connect. All I could do was groan in despair at what I saw happening. And yet, the Holy Spirit kept me present before God. When I could see no way forward, the Spirit was gently holding my hand. The Spirit was directing us, the Spirit was praying for us, and the Holy Spirit was confirming our identity as God's children. There were times during the week when it looked like the decisions of the General Assembly was the culmination of personal preferences and the outcome of power politics. But in the end, And I say this to you with all honesty and truthfulness. It was evident that God was alive and active, working in all the spaces, bringing together people with different opinions, creating something new when there was really nothing that could work. This reconfirmed to me that God has not left us, abandoned us at orphans. No, in fact, our Heavenly Father remains in control. The theme of the 145th General Assembly was receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't see tongues of fire resting among the heads of others. There wasn't a pillar of cloud moving before us at nighttime. But in a less sensational but equally remarkable way, God's Spirit was palpably present. And for this I'm thankful. Amen.